So if you would, open your Bibles now, please, to the book of Psalms, chapter 37. The 37th Psalm. David has some great words of encouragement here in this verse that we'll read. And at the same time, he also has some tremendous words of wisdom for things that we should apply and use and work and place within our own lives. Psalms 37, and we'll begin our reading, or we'll read verse 25. Psalms 37, and reading verse 25. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Let us pray. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you now, dear Lord, we come thanking you for thy blessings upon us this day. Lord, we thank you for this great number that has made their way out to be with us this morning. And dear Lord, I just pray that you'd speak to the hearts of all that are assembled here this day. Dear Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand exactly the many things that you do for us and are continuing to do for us. Dear Lord, that you would cause us to be thankful for those things. And dear Lord, that we would just praise you for all that you do. Dear Father, I pray if there be one here this morning that's lost, that this would be the time that you speak to their hearts and draw them unto yourself. And dear Lord, what you'll do, we'll thank you for all these things we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The subject I'd like to draw our thoughts to this morning from this one verse is just simply through it all. Through it all. One of the things that I fear that we as individuals don't do enough of, and it's something that is of great importance to us, is to take time to step back and reflect upon things. So much of the time, everything that we do is merely knee-jerk reactions to circumstances. So much of the time, we never pause to think about why something worked or why it did not work. So much of the time, we just keep stumbling through all that we go through in life, all that we do in life. They talk about flying by the seat of the britches, and so often we do that very thing. And if we're not careful, when we approach our lives in such fashion as that, what we wind up doing is just repeating a terrible cycle over and over and over and over again. Sometimes it's a cycle for things that are good, but a lot of times it's a cycle of things that are not. And we keep wondering, why is it that these things continue to blow up in our faces? Why is it that these things continue to happen that we don't want to happen? Well, if we take the time to think about it and analyze it and reflect back, many times we could avoid making the same mistakes over and over again. For example, you know, deer season's coming up pretty quick now. And y'all don't know this, but I like deer hunt a little bit. Yeah, I know you didn't know that. But I've made it a practice through the years that whenever I miss a deer, both times that's happened. But whenever I miss a deer, after I get through grumbling about it, I'll then set and dissect that shot as best I can, because there's a reason I missed. And I'll go back through every aspect of it to try to find out what I did wrong. Because guess what? It's not the rifle's fault, fellas and ladies. We blame our guns, but it's not the rifle's fault. It's not the scope's fault. It's our fault. We miss, right? Bullets fall. There you go. And if you'll think about it long enough, you'll figure out what you did wrong. And therefore, thereby, hopefully don't do it again. And the point I'm making is something as ridiculous and mundane as that. If there's profit in reflection, what about the more serious matters of our lives? What about the things that really do amount to something? Now, the trick is when we are reflecting, is that we do not become so bogged down in the past that we get stopped there and bogged down and don't ever move forward. Because that's possible to happen as well, isn't it? Learn, but move forward. Find out what you need to know from it and go on to the next task, the next challenge, the next whatever it might be in our lives. A fellow that used to be a news anchor, he has since retired, Tom Brokaw coined a phrase in regard to the soldiers that fought in the Second World War when he referred to them as being the greatest generation. And without being disrespectful to any other generation, I'm not altogether sure I don't think he's right. Because when you think about that generation, not only did they come through a brutal, bloody war, they also, in their younger days, came through a depression. They knew what that was about. And once everything was over, they got our nation moving forward again. There's a lot to be learned from them. In fact, much of what we enjoy today is what that generation was willing to do and the sacrifices that they were willing to make. Sadly, most of them have passed off the scene now. And in relatively few years from now, there won't be any of them left, except in our minds and our memories. But all the things we can learn from them. I firmly believe that we would be far better if we would just learn and strive to emulate their faithfulness as well as their sacrificial service. Now, that was a generation that, by and large, if they gave you their word, that was their bond. Most people today, you couldn't believe them if they had their tongues notarized than what they tell you. But then, it was a whole different world. Was it a perfect time? No. We know that. There was all kinds of injustices that went on during that time. But so far as the people are concerned, they were much better. A different breed than what we are today. We can see it on the national level. We can see it in our churches. In our service to the Lord, we need to know that there has to be a group that's going to be willing to take up the mantle and carry on. Because we're not all going to be here forever, right? And that's what we spend a lot of our times on Wednesday nights doing. Well, when I say we, I'm certainly not including myself. But those that work with the young folks is teaching them the things that they need to know so that when that time comes, that they'll be able to move forward and to take up the mantle and go, not miss a step anywhere along the way. And I have to say this, and I'll probably get to see some frowns and drawn down eyebrows here in a couple minutes, but you need to hear it. I look back at the generation that's coming, and I'm not talking about adults here now. I'm talking about, you know, our older teens, maybe young adults, perhaps. But when I look back, I'm very troubled at what I see. I really am. There's a lot of things that should be there that's not. As a rule, again, I'm not saying in every case, with every instance, no. But as a rule, They are selfish. They are spoiled. They think only of themselves, which is synonymous with being selfish, but I want to take it to the next step, really almost to the point of being a narcissist about the way they look at life. They have no imagination. If it's not something that they can pick up a device and punch a button on, they're not interested in doing it. You know? Hey, I like things like that too. I have stuff and I enjoy using it. But I enjoy having to think once in a while too, don't you? I never thought we would come to a time like in Vacation Bible School where we don't have coloring pages and crayons anymore because youngins don't know how to use them and have no desire to learn. If you give them a pair of scissors, they look at you like, well, what am I supposed to do with this? And glue and paste. Remember that old stuff that used to come in white cans with the, had the stick in it? That stuff wouldn't stick to nothing, but it was good to eat. Oh, wait a minute. I should have stopped when I caught it while I was ahead. But it did taste pretty good. Stuck to your ribs. Never mind. But it just troubles me. We look around and you know, we see young folks that seem to take great joy, great almost pride in the how much pain that they can inflict on somebody else by word or deed. Shouldn't be that way, folks, especially amongst God's people, right? It's just a troubling thing, but you know, you need to keep in mind one of these days, it's going to be up to you to keep things going. You know, I talked to Brother Tawny. It's been a while back now, and I don't know when, I don't know how it happened. But I asked him one time, when did he and I become one of the older pastors up here? I don't know when it happened. I mean, I was just the boy preacher for, I remember that. And I still like to be thought that way. But that time, that day has come and gone, hadn't it? And I ask myself when I reflect back, what have I taught our young folks? Am I preparing them to be able to go forward? We should be, right? And that's where we find David at this particular time in his life. At this particular time, he reflects back on when he was a younger man that he no longer is. And he observes one important fact, that being that at no time did he ever see any of God's people forsaken by God. That's a tremendous truth, isn't it? Never forsaken. And nor did they have to beg to survive. Never happened. And there's some things that go with that. That we'll be looking at as we go along through here. You know, we need to be willing to know that God blesses faithfulness. Faithfulness. Faithful to who? Faithful to God first, right? And if you're faithful to God, then you're going to be faithful to His service. And if you're faithful to His service, you're going to be faithful to His house, right? If you're going to be faithful to God, His service, and His house, then we're going to be faithful to one another, right? And that's going to carry on over into our homes, and it's going to carry on over into the places where you work. Faithfulness. You know, your employer has a right to expect of you that when you go on the clock, so to speak, until you go off the clock, that you are going to do what you said you would do when you took that job. Whatever the duties are, whatever the responsibilities are, whatever that is, you agreed to do it. And they have a right to expect you to do it. Right? How much more does God have the right to expect that you and I as His children to be faithful upon what He would have us to do? A faith that will not withstand the test of time is not something that you, is not really something worth having, is it? If we will serve the Lord as we ought to and as faithfully as we should, we not only will have a faith that will withstand the test of time, but it'll only continue to grow stronger as the years go by. So that's the kind of things I want us to look at as we come through this subject, through it all. Verse 25, the first part of it, shows to us how David remembered the past. He considered his past while he was thinking about his life. And that very simple statement shows much to us, and it teaches us very much. It's very evident that David had thought about the time that had passed. It doesn't take a year very long to go by, does it? You remember a time when you were a child, and buddy, your birthday never seemed to ever get there. Christmas never seemed it ever going to come. The end of school never seemed to come. You know, the years just took forever and a day to go by. And then all of a sudden, you come to the place where it seems like a year gets started and it's ready to start a brand new one all over again. They just absolutely fly by. And David began to consider the things that had happened or he had witnessed as time had went by. He remembered the days of his youth. You know, it's good for us to remember the days of our youth. Now, anybody here that has any time on them at all, if you're going to be honest, are going to admit there's things that you once did that you cannot do anymore. You know, the mind tells you you can, but your body says don't even try it. And when you listen to your mind, your body will make you wish you listened to it. Right? The last time, I suppose, that I played basketball. Oh my goodness. I didn't play that long. I didn't play that hard. But it took me a week to get over it. I tried to get out of bed the next morning. I went, oh! I should have listened to my body. And that's true with us a lot of things, right? The first eyeglasses I had did not have bifocals in them. They do now. And a lot of other things we could go back on and reflect back upon. My good friend, my really good friend, Chloe. Not this Chloe down here, the other. Where is that little stack? There she is. Chloe, my friend. One Wednesday night, she brought up a picture that of her sister when she was very, very young, just a few days old. And I was holding her sister when she was a few days old, maybe a day old. And my friend Chloe looked at me as I was looking at that picture and said, "Boy, you look young in that picture." Thanks. Isn't that the way it goes? You know, you don't really realize it. David had come to the place now that where he stood, where most refer to it today as those golden years. The closer I get to them, the more I'm sure that there's not so much golden about them. You know? Them golden years. Things that go on. And as he did so, I believe very much so that David was thankful for the life that God had blessed him with. Are you thankful for the life God has given you? Has it been a perfect journey without any bumps in the road? No. Has there been heartaches? Yes. Have there been instances when our hearts have been ripped out of us by somebody? Somebody close to us? Somebody that we loved? Somebody that we thought would never hurt us? That almost destroyed us by their actions? And yet through it all, God brought us through, didn't He? And through it all, the joy way more than outshines the sorrow of life. Now that may not help you if you're going through a dark time right now, but talk to me about it down the road a ways when you come out on the other side, and you'll find that what I'm telling you is true. You know, none of us that have ever went through a bad time can honestly say that we got stuck in that spot and God forsook us and left us there. He always brings us through. Being a man of war, you know, that was the reason why David was not permitted to build the temple, right? Because he had shed much blood. Being a man of war, David had witnessed many die on the battlefield. I think it would be shocking if there was any way to know of how many he did see die on the battlefield. And he saw those that died that were much younger than he is at this point in his life. And he was thankful for God's blessings upon him, for what he was going through. David knew that the length of days were a blessing from God. And let me tell you something. If you live to the 70 that the Bible speaks of, if you go past that, or if God takes you home before you reach there, every day that you have has been a blessing from God. And live it like it is. Right? Now, anybody here grumble when Monday rolls around? Yeah, I did too back when I had to work for a living. You know, hey, Monday, arf. I can remember dreading Monday about Saturday afternoon. And the long closer it got, the more I dreaded it. And now I'm ashamed. Because even those dreaded Mondays was a blessing from God. I was able to get up and go about and do what I needed to do. It is true that, as we already said, the older we get, the faster time passes. And when we take a moment to reflect, we can't help but wonder how it is that the years have passed by so quickly. James chapter 4 and verse 14 says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Well, that's a pretty good analogy of it, isn't it? It's here. Folks are aware of it, and then it's gone. Just as quickly as it comes, it's gone. Many have been blessed with a long life, and they've used their time for the Lord, and what a blessing that is, and how thankful they should be that God has allowed them to do so. If a person has enjoyed a long life that has been lived for God, they have been truly blessed. Blessed beyond all measure for what God has allowed them to do. Notice also the travel that he had. I can't help but think that David considered the path that he had traveled in his life. If he did, his thoughts would have had to have gone back to the nights taking care of the sheep as a young boy. You know, I don't suppose that there is a lonelier occupation in all the world than a shepherd. Because who does a shepherd have to talk to? The sheep, right? That's all they have. That's all they're around most of the time. I've known some animals I'd rather talk to than some people, to be honest. And I'm going to tell you something about another one of my friends here at the church. My friend, Tirsa. my friend Tirsa. Saw me one day this past week driving Mike's truck. She wanted to know who had stole it. And before she signed off, she told Mike not to worry about it because the guy driving it couldn't drive a goat to water. That was my friend. I pointed out to her this morning, that was a fallacy, that was a false statement. Because, you know, I do it every Sunday morning at church. Yeah! But you know, the fact is, as David cared for the sheep, he had to be faithful, didn't he? Because if he didn't, the sheep, they would be gone. He had to be brave, willing to go and fight and to protect the sheep. And he had to be honorable, because he had to give an account to his dad for every one of them. Good qualities that he learned in a very, very young age. I believe he thought about the day that Samuel called for him while he was out tending the sheep and anointed him to be king over Israel when he was still just a very young man. He had to remember the great victory that God had given him over Goliath or all the other victories, the nations that he had defeated in battle. And at the same time, there had been tremendous times of defeat and great pain that David had lived through. I don't think he ever forgot of his sin with Bathsheba, and also how that sin resulted in that young baby that they had, the Lord taking it home right after it was born. Or shortly thereafter, I mean, not in a few hours, but shortly thereafter. He likely remembered the rebellion and death of Absalom. You know, think about it, Absalom, he loved Absalom so much that after Absalom was killed, and he talked about he mourned for Absalom, he cried for Absalom, almost to the point of saying, I wish it had been me and not you. And he had to be awoken, if you will, because he was about ready to lose the kingdom. They was about ready to go off and leave him. Because they saw, you know, here, you thought more of that guy that rebelled against you than you did us who fought for you. That would have hit you kind of crossways, wouldn't it? And he thought about that, I think. The loss of friends he had a long way. Life had produced times of great joy as well as times of great pain. And yet there had also been many ordinary days along the way as well. But through it all, God was faithful. Circumstances different. The particular battles different. But beloved, can't that statement be also said about you and I? We've had our victories, we've had our defeats. We've had our joys, we've had our sorrows. And through it all, God's been faithful. God has brought us through. He also went through a transition. Somewhere along the way, a transition had taken place in David's life. He had once enjoyed the days of his youth, but now he'd aged. He was an old man now. Yeah, I'm sure that he had been just like everyone else, inasmuch that he was just so busy living life when this transition happened that he really just kind of surprised him when it did. Let me ask you to be honest with yourself. Has there ever been one of those mornings when maybe you don't feel particularly well when you get up, or you haven't slept well the night before, or you know, there's a lot of things on your mind, or whatever the case may be? And have you ever walked into the bathroom and caught a glimpse of a stranger in the mirror? You ever had that? You ever look at that fella or that lady and say, who in the world is that? A transition's happened. And it happened without you knowing it. It happened without you being ready for it. And it happened without asking you whether it could or not. It's all part of the way, life goes on. Days turned into weeks. Weeks turned into years. And eventually years became a lifetime of decades compiled. The change wasn't noticeable as it happened daily, But over the years, it took place. That's just the normal progression of life. You and I transition from childhood into adolescence, from adolescence into adulthood, and then into middle age, and then finally your senior years. And it's just a process that goes on. You can't slow it down. You can't stop it. It just goes on. All of us know how times pass faster and go faster and faster. We also need to remember and cherish the fact that all those years that have gone by will leave us with a lifetime of experiences and memories. The experiences that you have, remember I talked about, sadly, what I perceive to be a sad state with a lot of our younger folks? Well, guess what? The experiences that God has given us should enable us to help them along the way. But all those experiences won't do you any good unless you share them. Right? Share them. Help them. Don't just continually fuss. Help. And youngins, don't take every correction personal. Whatever you do, don't do that. Because if you take every word of correction personally, you're going to be in for a long, miserable work experience. Because I'm going to tell you for sure, there are going to be times that your boss is going to be on you all day long. There are going to be times. I mean, look at it this way. You may have to go out to work every day for somebody like Howard, or not Howard, but Calvin and Dale. Howard's a good guy. But you might have to go out and work for Calvin and Dale. Whew. And then Donna. Now, not everybody has the blessing of a good boss like Elaine does. She's got the best boss in the world. No amens for that, huh? Oh, well. Fond memories we have, we enjoy. Things such as the day when we got married, when you may have moved into your first home, the birth of your children, any number of a host of other blessings. And we've also experienced the times of when we've lost loved ones and dealing with having to pick up our pieces in our life when life will never be the same again. And yet, we move forward. We move forward. Why? Because God has been faithful. Through it all, God is faithful. Apart from Christ, this world would be a very dark and depressing place to live in, wouldn't it? He is the only hope there is. He's the only joy we have. And without Him, it would be a tragic thing to try to go through. If death were all we had to look forward to, our lives would be truly miserable. Wouldn't it? Paul spoke about that, even for somebody who's a child of God. If there was no resurrection, if Jesus was still in the grave, upon a whole laundry list of things that it also applied to it, he said, we are of all men most miserable if there be no resurrection. If that was all there was, all those who are saved by grace will go through one final transition. And that is when we depart this life and enter into the presence of our Lord. What a glorious transition that will be. David rejoiced in his provision. Notice the blessing. Through everything God had put him through, or he had seen and witnessed, he noticed how much that God had provided for his own. God had always met their needs, provided daily for them. Think about when Israel was coming through the wilderness. 40 years they wandered. And even up to the point of when they started the 40-year wandering. Did they have to wonder about what they were going to eat or if they had food to eat? No, God provided it for them. Did any of them ever die of thirst? No, they grumbled because they got thirsty, but they never died. God provided them water to drink when they needed it. How many of us have had to skip very many meals in our life since God saved us? I ain't missed many. I can tell you that. You know, God's good to us, right? He takes care of us. He always has, and he always will. Often these blessings went unnoticed, but even when we didn't notice them, and when the children of Israel didn't notice them, God was faithful. There's not a person here today who's been saved for any period of time that cannot say that during even those times of uncertainty, that God proved himself faithful to them some way, somehow, that need was taken care of and provided for. All of us have to admit that God's been more than good to us. I like the promise that we have that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Now, having said that, there's a vast difference between what we need and what we want, right? But I have found that not only does God provide what we need, but he's also provided a lot of things I've wanted. Everything I've wanted, no more than he has you. But isn't it nice to get a few of those wants along the way? He is so gracious to us. He has loved us so much. And if you want to continue walking with the Lord as you should, then you have to keep that fact in sight before you and remember at all times. He knew and experienced very much what it meant to belong to the Lord. While it's true that we do not serve the Lord for the blessings we receive, but they're enjoyable when they do come, right? You say, no, wait a minute. You said God would bless us, yeah. But if the only reason why we served him is for those blessings, then we'd be like that bunch that followed him around for the loaves and the fish, right? Nothing else. We serve him because we love him. We serve him because he saved us. We serve him because we belong to him. And the blessings are just that which comes along, I won't say extra, but that's what comes along with it as we move forward. We all know that David had lived a long life. Yet, through all the years he'd lived, what a testimony he had that God had remained faithful to his own, all that he had ever witnessed. There were times in David's life, and even in times of others, when they rebelled against God and walked contrary to his ways. But even then, God didn't forsake his people. How do we know that he didn't forsake us or forsake them when they went contrary to what God would have them to do? Because the Bible talks about how God will chasten his children, right? Now let me ask you this. Anybody here, when you were younger, or anybody here who's young now, did you ever get out of bed one morning and say, oh, buddy, I'm going to see what I can do today to see if I can't get mom or dad one to just wear me out before I go to bed? Am I going to see what I can do so I don't have to have the belt put to my backside? Oh, I can't wait. Anybody ever do that? No. Why? Because it's not pleasant, right? And you don't want to have to do it. It's far more fearful to come under the chastening hand of Almighty God than into the chastening hand of any parent that's ever lived. Because God will get your attention if you belong to him. We said, Elaine and I promised ourselves, as soon as we brought Joshua home from the hospital, that we would never, ever, ever use him as an excuse not to go to church. Because God has a way of taking excuses away from you, doesn't he? Our son would have went with the Lord. He wouldn't have been punished. But I didn't want to be because I was using him as an excuse to lay out a church, right? Doesn't matter what it is. If you use it as an excuse to not serve God, God can take it away from you. He can remove those excuses. God can touch the things that mean the most to you to get your attention. I've heard of individuals that found themselves in a hospital bed somewhere before God got their attention. But he does. Well, that's mean. No, it's not. He loves you that much. He loves you that much. You think, do parents enjoy correcting their children? Of course not. God doesn't enjoy correcting us. But it's necessary sometimes. And he does so out of love for us. In fact, the Bible says if we say that we've never been chastened or aren't chastened, then we're illegitimate, right? We're not sons and daughters of the Lord at all. Thirdly, David reflected on prosperity. Even though David is a king, he did not view prosperity the same way that the world does. Notice the supply. Again, there never been a time when he had seen families of the righteous without something to eat. You remember that one poor old widow woman that when the prophet went to her, all she had was a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil, and how that she said she was going to fix a cake for her and her son and then they were going to eat it and die because there wasn't anything else. There wasn't nowhere to get anything else. And how that he told her what she should do, and how that, you know, as long as the drought was, she always had meal, she always had oil. But then did you ever notice that she didn't have meal, oil, flour, vegetables, and all that? She had meal and she had oil. Don't you think you get tired of eating that same kind of stuff that you could? There's just so much things you can do with it, right? But you know what? If you knew, if you had the assurance that in your home you would never run out of flour. Yeah, youngins, biscuits don't always come out of a can that you beat on the side of a counter. Right? And things ain't biscuits anyhow. If you're always going to have flour, if you always have some meal, cornbread don't come out of a pouch either. You kind of make it. Dried beans and potatoes. You never starve. Now, how many ways can you fix dried beans? Not that many. Potatoes has a pretty good variety of them, but eventually you get tired of that too. But be that as it may, you're not going to starve. God's good to us, right? Again, he may not give us what we want. He'll give us what we need. You know, so the next time you do what I have done more times than I'll care to admit, that you walk through the house, you look in the pantry, you look in the freezer, you look in the refrigerator, and you say, there ain't a thing in this house to eat. Feel as ashamed as I do. Because it is a shame that we do that. And there's so much stuff that God has blessed us with. Why? Because he's faithful through it all. There's always a sufficient supply from the good hand of our Lord. Remember how God used Joseph in Egypt to prepare enough food for 7 years of famine, not only for the people of Egypt, but for all those that are around that would come, and they could get food, they could get provisions. Notice the satisfaction. David greatly rejoiced in what he'd witnessed. He was thankful for the goodness of the Lord. God had been faithful to supply their needs. He wasn't focused on wealth. He wasn't focused on prosperity that so many people strive for today. That's all they're interested in, is prosperity. You know, there are a lot of things in this world that are worth more than money. That's more important than money, right? Now, it does take X amount of dollars to live, right? It takes a certain amount to be able to survive. It takes a certain amount to be able to get some things that you like and you enjoy and to live comfortably and so forth. But there's a lot in life that's far more important than that. Don't make your decisions solely on the dollar signs. Make your decisions on what God would have you to do. I made big money one time in my life. One time. And that was in 81, long time ago. In 1981, with shift differential and the high rate that they gave us, I made $100 a shift, 8-hour shift. And that was big money in 1981. That was huge money. And I would suppose that if I had still been making that, I wouldn't have been faithful to what God had for my life. Because you know what? God took it away. And I can honestly say, as I stand here before you this morning, I'm happier right now than I ever was, even on payday back then. I'm far happier. I've got a wonderful family. I got a wonderful home. God has placed me here, and I get to minister to y'all. What more could I ask for? God's good to us, isn't it? But you got to realize that it's not always associated with the dollar signs. Even if you're as rich as Clarence back there. He daily gives us those things. Remember when the Israelites had to go out and get the manna? With the exception of the sixth day, they could only gather what they'd eat that one day, right? If they gathered any more, it would breed worms and stink. Sixth day, they could get enough for that day in the Sabbath. What's that tell us? Yeah, we should plan ahead. We should look ahead. But don't forget where the blessings today come from. You know, don't get so caught up in today and tomorrow that you forget about what God's given you today. So finally, we need to remember, as we reflect back and as we should reflect back, that God has been faithful to us all the way through. Everything that's happened in life, God has faithfully brought us through. Youngins, let me admonish you. Learn this fact. Held it before you. Think about it often. That whatever your life will bring, God will be faithful to you and will faithfully bring you through it as long as he'll even bring you through it if you're disobedient. And I'm not encouraging sin, because sin will bring the chastening that I talked about a while ago. But don't fret. Don't get caught up. You know, really, I hate to say it, but I very rarely watch the news anymore. I mean, it's, you know, if you watch the news, the world's about to end tomorrow. There's going to be nuclear holocaust. There's going to be this. There's going to be that. You know, everything's falling apart. There's never anything any good. You know, just really enlightening. It makes you feel so good about yourself. I don't worry about any of that. Why? Am I sticking my head in the sand? No. Because I know I'm serving the one who's in control of all of it. And all the time I'd spend worrying about it, it isn't going to change what God's going to do. Just trust Him. Depend on Him. Lean upon Him. And you will say, as David did, I was young, but now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Through it all, God is faithful. Let us pray.